Welcome back, Sprouts, Vets, and Moogles. I am Horaina Swift, and I welcome you to the Sprout Life Podcast, the podcast about Final Fantasy XIV Online through the eyes of a total Sprout. I welcome you to join me in my adventures in Eorzea. You can contact the show on Twitter at Sprout Life Pod, and you can email the show at sproutlifepodcast@gmail.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Horaina. That's Harainna. We have had so many awesome live letters compounding in the last couple of weeks, so I decided to just break them down into an episode. So this episode, I will just be sharing all of the juicy nuggets that was shared with us in the wee hours of the morning here in the East Coast and in the States with the live letter 68. I did get to rock that out. I think I went to bed at like 5 a.m., 4 a.m., around there. And so I'm going to share all of those nuggets. And then I'm also going to do in episode 9, I'm going to be covering the latest live letter 69. So back-to-back live letter coverages. Nothing else is going to be in this episode because there is just so much. So then episode 10 will be a normal episode. So here we go. Live letter 68. Final Fantasy XIV director-producer Naoki Yoshida and global community manager Toshio Marachi, with translation by Amy Tukutaki, released details on the game's future as well as answered a number of fan questions in the 68th letter from the producer live broadcast. That's right, this was the live letter 68. And this is the very extensive bulleted detailed list of everything that was shared during the live letter number 68, minus the Q&A at the end. You can read those for yourselves at the link in the show notes. Advancements as a solo and multiplayer RPG experience. The game's first graphical upgrade is also going to take place. This does not necessarily mean that PS4 support will cease in 7.0. Patch 6.x series roadmap, future concept of number one, an even better RPG that you can play alone or with friends. And in talking with fans at fan festivals and conducting market research, the team seems unable to answer two questions. The first is the group of Final Fantasy fans who have played all of the Final Fantasy franchise except for the online version, which is a point of frustration. The Final Fantasy team receives updates to make the game more solo friendly, but with the Final Fantasy XIV plans to go beyond that, the second point are players who don't really want to deal with interacting with others. So you have a group that hasn't even touched the game because they're just not into that online experience. And then you have another group that likes the online experience but doesn't necessarily like playing with others. So at least that's what I had gathered from it. Yoshida wants to see the game evolve over the next 10 years. To that purpose, the trust system will be expanded to work with all main scenario dungeons, and 4-player trials will be implemented in patches 6.1 through 6.5. This will be uploaded one at a time. All A Realm Reborn 2.0 scenario duties will be trust compatible in patch 6.1. Low-level main scenario dungeons and trials will be improved further. At this time, there are actually no plans for 8-player trials. They will be considered for 7.0 or later. The trust system's growth does not imply that player matchmaking is actually being phased out. This system is going to be for people who have a strong desire to play by themselves. The second trial in Endwalker served as a proving ground for a trial with 7 trusts. However, retrofitting earlier trials is more of a long-term effort for 7.0 or later due to the resources that are required. Members of the Scions may not be nearby or accessible to help in some A Realm Reborn dungeons, in which case members of the Adventurers Guild will actually step in. However, there are key points in the story where players would want an important NPC to join them. Yoshida cites the Nidhogg battle and having Essenstein join you as a trust. Some tweaking must be done with the script. A Realm Reborn dungeons must be examined or altered to properly support the trust system. the goop that Toto Rock uses to slow you down will be gone. In some dungeons, the lighting will be changed as well. Cape Westwind is being rebuilt as an instant story battle. Castrum Meridinum and the Praetorium will be rebuilt as four-player instant dungeons. The battle will be the Ultima Weapon, will also be a four-player battle. The final battle with Lahabria will be an instant story battle. They are preparing for many years of service. The preparations will be made for the game's long-term operation, and this will happen between patch 6.1 and 6.5. They say that they've been running their game for 11 years and have an amazing quantity of assets. If we attempted to update every asset at the same time, we would encounter conversion errors and waste a significant amount of time. It's best to consult with the graphics team in stages, Yoshida added, and I totally agree. That would be a lot of work to take on. Development and preparation for 7.0 will focus on working through the 6.x patches, including testing shaders, writing programs, converting assets. They're going for a screen style that will work well in a multiplayer setting. Expect no updates that make the game seem like Horizon Forbidden West, according to Yoshida, because they need to render a large number of player characters while still running on everyone's hardware. That is a huge feat. There will also be updates to the animation and lighting systems. As with version 7.0, the game's minimal running requirements will change. The team will make every effort to support a wide range of hardware specifications. They could make lengthier emotes with an upgrade to the animation system, and with lighting updates, they could add an additional illumination to improve the entire look. So they did put a lot of examples out on the live stream so that you can see the old model versus the nude model and what they're planning, and it's pretty neat. They did some headshots, and I'll put those in the show notes. The team is still in the early stages of testing, and they are the only samples available at the moment. It's possible that the next update will take place at a fan festival. The following are the main characteristics or objectives: higher resolution textures for hair, skin, gear, and other items. Material properties on the skin with metal, cloth, and other surfaces have improved. Better lighting and shadow effects, notably for the shadows of the players and so on. The player characters will be adjusted as little as feasible. From 7 point onward, this will be added to old NPCs where possible. In the future, they will be testing for more enhancements. Because there's actually so much stuff in the game, the team wants you to know that it may not be able to go over absolutely everything. However, from version 7.0 and forward, gear will be higher quality. The team is aware that certain glamours are popular among players, and they will be reviewed first. The rest of the gear will be assessed for upgrades in the 7.0 patches. What about all the non-player characters? By 7.0, the team won't be able to address all of the NPCs, but some will receive graphical changes, while others will not. It's a little disjointed so far, but being a selective is the only way they will be able to deal with it without becoming completely overwhelmed. The characters constructed with the same pieces that players utilize in the creator, such as Telege, maybe that's the better way to pronounce it, will notice improvements despite the fact that he doesn't deserve it. When asked about clipping, the team said that they wouldn't be able to fix it without building a new physics system, which would throw the schedule off. The crew can now put more lighting points, thanks to the upgraded lighting. Take note that there are some screenshots that they put in where there's a difference where they are actually showing the back of a current wall and then how they can actually use their new lighting techniques to bring it to life. So it looks really neat. They have improved shadow resolutions in their newest models. So I put that picture in the show notes too. That illumination also highlights the already built-in detail that is surrounding the environment in game. What they are trying to show in the examples that they shared is how placing additional lights can bring out the form and texture of an actual asset and how they are staged. So in their examples, the metallic surfaces like gold have been improved with relativity. And this is, they joked on the stream, it was cute. They said, this is not Yoshino's house because it's a beautiful big golden elephant like mansion. So they were cracking jokes. I loved watching the live stream. The team will also be able to place a greater density on the objects. This is shown in the examples where they've shown the way that steps were. Where right now they're kind of steps look kind of clay and they're smoothed over. And with the more environmental objects that they'll be able to add more textures to, they actually got to make it not look like the stairs were all one uniform stair. They have them all kind of haphazardly, like they look more ancient in the new update, which is kind of funny because the better graphics will make the stairs look less quality, like in real life. You know, almost went from looking like a majestic clay to now like a shabby wood. It's really interesting. So Yoshida was also said to be frustrated when there was a scene in the Endwalker scenario that didn't look good due to the grass quality, and he wanted it removed for that specific part. So this is where the jokes were coming all over the internet about Final Fantasy XIV players getting super geeked over the grass changes, because they showed us a graphic on the live stream of what the grass is, the improved plant resolution is going to look like, and it really makes a big difference. So additional illumination points will improve visual clarity, depth, and immersion, while higher resolution shadows will move more and have less flickering. They also intend the lighting in Mare Lamentorum to look like it was coming from way afar. Yet there were some sections where the shadows would fluctuate. They expect that by updating them, they will appear more sharp. The team is still experimenting with ambient occlusion and fog effects, but no samples were available at that time. They want to proceed with caution because these features have an impact on the game's overall performance. The release of version 6.1 is scheduled for April. In patches 6.1 through 6.5, Hildebrand reappears and somehow further Hildebrand adventures. In patches 6.1 through 6.5, a new set of side quests dubbed the Tataru's Grand Endeavor will be available. The first Alliance raid in the Myths of the Realm series will be available in patch 6.1. As a new PvP mode, Crystalline Conflict will also be implemented. Quests and dailies for the Arcasadora tribe will be added. Ultima's Bane will be the Unreal Trial, and Dragon Song's Reprise Ultimate will be included. The team decided to change the name of the quests from Beast Tribe Quests to just Tribe Quests, and then Reprise of Dragon Song Ultimate will be released in 6.11, according to Yoshida. He claims it's quite difficult, and they definitely want you to focus on the primary plot objective before worrying about the actual ultimate. The trust mechanism will be expanded for 2.0 main story quests dungeons in the 6.1 series. The UI for the calling card will be set up as a reward system. New Hrothgar. Oh, this always jacks me up. Hrothgar hairstyles will also be added. The Imperium Ishgard dwelling will be open, and Emelients will receive unique deliveries. The trust system will be expanded in 6.2 to include 2 main scenario dungeons, as well as 2 to 3 Heavensward MSQ dungeons. There will be new weapon upgrades. A new Criterion dungeon will be added with several levels of difficulty. The content for the Island Sanctuary Slow Living will be added. The Glamour Plates in 6.1 series will receive the next upgrade. The Criterion dungeon is a 1-4 player dungeon with the varying levels of difficulty. The difficulty will scale with the amount of participants, and the material will provide opportunities for players to push themselves. It's progressing well, and checks are being carried out. In the weeks leading up to 6.2, new information will become accessible. Trust will be extended to remaining Heavensward MSQ dungeons in version 6.3. The implementation of the third deep dungeon will take place. The fifth edition of the ultimate duty will be implemented. The information on Island Sanctuary will be updated. Trust will be extended to all Stormblood MSQ dungeons in patch 6.4 and 6.5. The second and third Criterion dungeons will be included. There will be more space allocated to the Island Sanctuary, Pandemonium 2nd tier, Mists of the Realm, Fox Hollows, and other trials are also going to be available. They're working on a new update for Blue Mage, but they're not really sure when it'll be released. More plans for the 6 Plus series patches will be released in the coming months. This roadmap does not currently cover everything. Another tribe for quests, dailies, and activities. There will be gold saucer news, and so on. The cadence of the major patch cycle will be changed. Previously, one significant patch was released every 3 to 5 months. In the future, one major patch will be released every 4 months, which is approximately 2 weeks more. And that's the one thing I thought was really cute and also very endearing was during the live stream, they were apologizing for taking that little bit of extra time to push out that content. And we're like, no, do what you have to do, you know, but definitely. So I thought that that was really neat and that they are aware that there are some people that would be like, what? No. But it's so nice that they're so humble and they communicate and they're very transparent. I definitely appreciate that about this development team. The team requests that gamers give them an extra week to implement and fine-tune each feature. In addition, 1 week will be added for the summer and New Year's holidays. Yoshida said he wants the team to take the proper breaks based on previous years and their timetable. They may have pushed too hard in some areas in the past. When comparing 3.3 Heavensward and 5.3 Shadowbringers, there is more content and work to be done. Thanks to the monthly subscription, the team has been able to hire additional staff, but this isn't an assembly line. Training and experience developing the game is required. Not every developer is as familiar with the game as most veteran staff. The team doesn't want to compromise on the quality and tuning of the content that's coming, so that's why the 2 weeks was necessary. And the last point on this live letter bullet point production is the data center travel is being planned for patch 6.18. So there you go. There's an entire section of question and answers too that they went over. They covered Endwalker, main scenario spoilers, and all that stuff. So I did not include it, and I did not want to have to read. It is long. It is so long, but I will put the link to it in the show notes. Or I'll just copy and paste it and put it in the show notes so you can read over it if you want. So there you go. Thank you so much. I hope that reading this live letter 68 helped you. In case you were wondering what actually was in the live letter 68, it's a lot easier than staying up really late depending on your time zone. So happy travels, Vet Sprouts and Moogles. I'm going to hop over into live letter 69 for the following episode in case you wanted to find out what they talked about last night.